All right, guys, and welcome back. This is ForgeCast number 9. I'm Lovecore.
Miranda.
Nelikin.
And we're back. We were actually kind of on a small little break. We had, Nelikin was down at doing the pre-release for the new set for Magic. Meriden's been working his ass off, and I've been hiding in a hole. So this cast, we're kind of going to touch on a lot of things that have happened in the past 3 weeks. There's been quite a bit. We, obviously the first notable thing in most recent memory is the Stoneblade stream. Kibler streamed with the new beta client. And we watched that. So, let's just kind of touch on that real quick. There wasn't too terribly much from that we really got.
No, it definitely seemed to be geared towards newer players, towards trying to generate some interest. At some point in the stream, he was even teaching people, this is how you play Soulforge. It was not geared towards
the backers, so to speak. Yes, exactly.
But we did see a few things. We saw a few card changes. We saw the PC beta client, which was exciting. It's nice to know that exists.
Yeah, it is nice to know. I had thought that they forgot about us again. But yeah, and it's nice that they're touching base with us. I want them to do it more. I'm sure the rest of the community feels that way. I want them to say, hey, we're still here. We still care. I'm sure they're under the gun and there's pressure to get the game done, but taking that half hour out of the day to stream and talk to the guys, the rest of the community, I think is awesome.
Sure. I think that would take the pressure off, too. I've mentioned before in podcasts that I'm not necessarily unhappy with where they're at. I just don't know.
Right.
And if I knew where they were at, or I knew they were running into this trouble or that trouble and trying to work through it, I'm a patient guy, but if you don't tell me, I don't know.
I get angsty.
And then, who knows what's happening? I don't know. Where so far? I couldn't tell you. Where do they stand on their roadmap? Couldn't tell you. Where is these features? Couldn't tell you. No idea.
Where does that roadmap end?
Where does that roadmap end? Exactly.
So yeah, it was great to see that, and yeah, I would echo that. We would love to see a lot more.
Yeah, I think that's
unanimous.
I'd like
to see something like the Q&A, something targeted more towards the backers.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to see a QA backer, another QA. I don't want just a Soulforge update. There's been a lot of legitimate questions that have been asked. Even on the stream when I was watching, they kind of got skipped over because, this stream is chat scrolling and you can only pick up every much, right? But there's been legitimate questions asked. We're still waiting for how many factions per deck. They haven't told us
how they're going to restrict deck building.
Deck building. We're all waiting for that info. They haven't said anything about a trading. Being able to trade cards with clan mates or guild mates. We don't even know if we're going to have a guild option. We haven't heard anything about tournaments yet and how they plan to structure those, or even if that's still something they plan to do. I mean, obviously in the stream we did see that the tournament button is there, but is tournament synonymous with online play, or is it actually tournament, hosted tournaments? So there's still a lot of questions. Serious questions, if you will, that backers we've been waiting patiently for haven't been answered. And I don't know whether that's because they don't have answers or they just, don't have the time to give us answers. So, that's one thing I would really like to see.
Yeah, like I said, most of their stuff at this point seems to be targeted towards newer players.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to bring in more.
Not to be too cynical here, but, they already got the backers money.
Yeah, I know, right?
and they're going to come out with a game, eventually one way or the other. So at this point, it may be about just trying to generate as much interest as they can from people who might not be aware of the game, people who came in from PAX, or people who have seen it in their Steam friends list, or people who are Magic fans who just happen to catch Kibler streaming this game randomly.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it. I feel like the backers at this point, and all of us sitting here at this table, we are all backers. I feel cheated, actually. Not to be, again, a negative Nancy here, but I expected more. Nelikin and I were talking about this. It's been 9 months since the Kickstart.
I couldn't believe it when I thought about that.
Yeah, I was hoping for at least a beta with multiplayer to exist at this point. Not yet. One thing that we did get from the stream is that Kibler plans to stream more, is something he said. So on that note, it's a good thing, because maybe he'll be streaming beta versions of the client. Future beta versions of the client that we haven't seen yet. So maybe we'll be able to get a glimpse of new cards and, polish and that type of stuff that we're all hoping to see and soon.
Yeah, it won't be strictly, patch notes or anything that very official, but being able to catch little glimpses of, oh, look at that, they got that thing in there.
Yeah, look, you know, what happens if I click this gem? It says gem activated. What is that? What does that do? I like that they're making progress. I just feel they're making progress too slow. And that's enough on that, I think. I think we could sit here and be mad about it all day, but it's not going to do us any good. And nobody really wants to listen to us be pissed off at Stoneblade. Let's face it. I mean, maybe there's probably somebody out there who's like, I like how angry they get. But I don't think that's the majority of the people.
If you are out there, let us know. So we'll balance this out for you.
The next thing in the cast, or the stream that's, that Kibler did, we caught some card changes. And you can catch the changes, formal changes that Sayoman had posted up for us. It's over on Forge Gamers. And the biggest change, for me, I think the biggest change is the change to Rageborn Hellion. I am convinced that Sayoman had that card nerfed. That son of a bitch played that card.
You know, if you look at Kibler said himself, if you look at forum games.
Yes.
And if you look at Sayoman and forums right now, I haven't followed a lot of them, but he keeps us updated on how he's
doing. Yes, he does.
Freaking 5-0.
He's crushing people. And it's Rageborn's a key to that.
Looking at that die is just disgusting. Just every turn, it's just, hey, all my creatures get buffed. All my creatures get buffed. Yeah. All my creatures get buffed again.
Isn't it exactly one of the two options for changes that we said in a podcast?
Yes, we did mention that that's how we wanted that card to be changed.
Well, and interestingly, I can't remember if it was Packmaster or Hellion, but I believe it was Hellion where Kilbar was saying that was the way they originally wanted it. And it had been programmed differently because of limitations in the client, that they couldn't actually program the card to work the way they wanted to. So they had to program it with this sort of alternate methodology for triggering. And once they were able to advance the rules for cards more, get it back to the original design intent.
The change that they made to Rageborn Hellion is really good. It says, when a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, it gets +2, +4, +8, according to the level of Hellion. That is a billion times better than it was before.
Yes.
It's much more controlled. I think that it's... The way they have it now is a very good card design. It doesn't lead to brokenness. It doesn't, it makes it a powerful card and still a threat. So,
yeah, it's still something you got to pay attention to. Still something that you got to take care of. But it won't completely throw a game off kilter.
Yes. The next card that we noticed a slight change on was Sonic Pulse. It used to be -3, -6, -9. That's a lot. It now reads -2 attack, -4 attack, -8 attack at each level, which is interesting. I can't tell if this was an intentional change based on other cards we haven't seen, or if they just feel that given the current card pool, -3 is way too good. And I can't really differentiate between that, because I'm sure that Epidemic probably got the same change. The Necrium card that does -3, -3. I think it may have.
But
it's pretty much a mirror version, just affects health.
Well, yeah, but that one affects all creatures, where this one just affects your opponent creatures.
That's true, too. Maybe we'll see that. I don't know, it would be nice.
I think it was you who made the interesting point that it almost seems to be in response to the switch to Hellion.
That's something we did talk about. It may be in response to the change to Hellion. Maybe they felt that that's, a better balancing act.
Yeah. And Sayoman says himself that he didn't think Sonic Pulse was that strong. I haven't really seen it much in forum games, but it makes me kind of believe that it wasn't that strong.
I haven't seen it much in forum games either, but again, I don't follow them.
I don't think they would have nerfed the card on its own. I think that there had to be an ancillary.
I agree. I don't think that the -3 was enough to nerf it by itself.
The most interesting part of that whole discussion is the fact that they're looking at forum games for balancing. It's just, I wasn't sure if they had actually been watching forum games. I wasn't sure if they were considered.
I think they do, because it's really just it's really a window into something they don't have yet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have these games and data results to play and watch with, so.
Externally, but they do inside.
Right, but they don't.
Quick interesting thing from this stream was Kibler talking about some of these statistics that they've been gathering, which I was ecstatic to hear that they are gathering and using statistics in the stream, I was mostly in the context of deck matchups. In fact, one of the keys he gave away was guess which deck does the best against which
deck. Which deck, yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, hopefully they are using at least those numbers.
And I'm sure they are, but I don't think they have a large enough sample.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I mean, maybe they have AI versus AI, and they can use that as a sampling template. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
All like war games like?
Yeah, very war. Would you like to play a game? So I feel like it would be... I would think that would be something they can probably do, but I feel there's, you know, another thing that Killer mentioned in the stream, there's currently a bug in the AI in the order that the cards are played. And that's one of the reasons that the AI seems so easy, or in this case, so dumb.
Yeah.
That the order that it's playing cards is kind of pulling them randomly out of the stack of played rather than in the proper order. The next card that we noticed a change on, and this is actually going to lead us into the next topic, is because it is the card of the week for us, is Uthern Packmaster. Packmaster used to be a 4/5 that read at the start of your turn, Uthern creatures you control get +1 attack and +1 health. So I don't think that was too amazing. It's good, but it's not.
I played with this one extensively because I would focus on my deck to buff, and this card was horribly wrong.
Yeah. Now it reads in, you know, in the sneak that we got, activate each other Uthera creature you control gets +1 health and +1 attack. And then it's +1, +3, +5 at each level accordingly. And he also got a bump in stats. He's a 5/6 now. So that's awesome too. I mean, that's puts him pretty much, like, at this point, I'll totally play him. It'll probably take the spot of Shardplate Sentinel, or Shardplate Devourer in my decks.
I don't know if I necessarily see the strength of cards that are built around single faction. I think that single faction is going to end up not being as strong in cards
really?
That take advantage of faction cards like this. And I know this is contrary to everything that I've said about robots and how much I love them. I'm still going to play a mono-faction robot deck because I think it's going to be fun, but I think it's going to get beat by multi-faction decks. I think that the versatility that you'll be able to see in a multi-faction deck is going to end up overriding whatever sort of tribal buffs or faction-based buffs you can get from a card like this.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I think our card pool is too small at this point to tell.
Yeah.
I think that... I'm with you on that one. I agree that you're right. I would love to see more cards and just get a better feel of how, you know, how a mono faction deck or a mono, you know, themed deck would actually play out, because we really can't tell at this point.
Well, if you're going to make it just Uthera creatures, it should be a bigger buff.
I agree.
First of all, and those stats are huge.
Oh, yeah, they are not bad stats.
I mean, those are the... Think of the Otera vanilla creature. He's a 5/5. This guy's a 5/6 with this ridiculous ability. Enormous.
That's enormous. It is. And I think that's one of the things that will lead to Packmaster being a change in rarity. I don't think we're going to see it as a common or an uncommon or whatever it is now. I think we may
he's
see
rare
it as
rare. Is he rare? Was the one of... He was one of rare before.
Okay. So I think that's justified. In terms of TCG aspect, you know, you've got cards that do their job okay, and then you've got cards that do their job very well. You know, there's commons that do it, but there's rares that do it better.
Well, yeah, but usually their stats are balanced around the ability, and that ability seems way too strong for those stats.
I would like to see a card very similar to this, but for all creatures you control. I think it would be great.
If it's just each other Uthera creature, then it should probably be 2/4/6, not 1/3/5.
Maybe. We'll touch on that. I don't know, 2/4/6 is a lot.
It is a lot.
That's like but a 1/3/5
is... Maybe it just needs to be 2/3/5.
2/3/5?
You think the plus one just doesn't really do anything.
Well, +1 at level 1. I mean, you play that on turn 1. The next turn you're playing Hunting Pack Echo Wisp. That's not bad. +1, that 1 damage and 1 health. I mean...
That's true.
It is a lot. You know.
And this is the big thing about that card now, is that you can play a creature, then activate, then get the buff.
Exactly. So you're not waiting to the beginning of your turn, so you're essentially losing out on a buff. Now that it's activate, you're gaining the buff, even, you know, because it's not going to happen at the beginning of your turn, it's going to happen whenever the hell you say it's going to happen. Making Echo Wisp, our favorite hunting pack, and, you know, a lot of other cards that I'm sure they had that duplicate themselves. Very good.
Well, my question is this stat change a sign that they're changing the stats on everything?
Well, that's something I wondered, too, when I saw the Hellion change. The game feels faster. if you will. I mean, bigger creatures, bigger hits. I don't know. It feels like maybe we will see a lot. I mean, not maybe. We will see a lot of changes before the game is in our hands.
Sure.
So, but I feel
maybe this is the new standard. Maybe it's now like
trying to set a new baseline for.
It's very possible. And Meriden, I know you ran some numbers on the database. Do you remember what the average? Would you say it was 4.6?
Yeah,
attack
I think
to.
It was like 4.6 and 3.8 health, or the other way around.
3.8 attack and 4.6 health.
A little below 4 health power and a little bit above 4 health. Yeah, this card would, you know, heads up against. The average card in its rank.
Yep.
Even without its ability would be
a contender. Yeah. I, for one, welcome our Uhtaran Passmaster Overlords.
Well, absolutely. I would have to go and change my that Uhtaran deck.
Yeah, and you know
based on that, because that guy's just an auto include now rather than a question mark.
Right. Now it makes you want to play him. And this leads me to something that I was kind of tossing around in my head earlier that I don't think I got a chance to talk to you guys about, is that the limit in deck size being 30 cards and the amount of rarities in this set, do you feel that decks are going to be mostly based around rare cards?
Depends on how good all the rares are.
That's exactly it. How good?
Because like in Magic, you're gonna you have commons and uncommons that are cornerstones for your deck.
That's very true.
And they've mentioned that they want this game, but at the same time, we see this change to the Uhtaran Packmaster, and it's a huge.
That's a huge change, but he's a rare. You know, Echo.
Well, yeah, that's
a rare. You know, so I keep getting this crazy feeling that all these rares are going to be so strong that your deck's just going to be packed as many rares as you can in. And, you know, just for what they do for you is going to push your advantage.
If you look at it, though, standard Magic deck, 60 cards, minus about a third mana, and you're looking at 4-card playsets, which means you technically, if you have full playsets of every card in there, have approximately 10 unique cards. Soulforge deck's the same situation. 3-card playsets, 30-card deck, no mana. You're looking at, with full playsets.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is the relative strength of the commons. Is a common useless compared next to a rare, or is it, you know, almost as good?
Almost as good, right.
Okay, you know, the size of that gap is going to determine the viability of them in competitive decks. But, you know, having talked to you two guys, it seems that it's not totally uncommon to have uncommons.
No, and it's very, I mean, there's, you know, some cards, you know, given Magic is our example, cards like Brainstorm, Impulse, there's Duress, all these cards that are really great, fantastic, common cards are, like you said, Nelkin, cornerstones to your deck. But I don't see that yet in Soulforge. After playing all the cards, I mean, I don't know. So looking at the cards in the, for example, the Uhtera Faction starter deck, while we're kind of talking about rarity distribution and such, there aren't exactly cards that are common that I would consider a must-consider at this point. They're commons by the logic that we're going up, that's the forums have kind of come up with, is Glowstride Stag, Grove Huntress, you know, Toxic Spore, Prowler, Ferocious Roar, Fangwood Ravager. Those cards aren't exactly cards that gonna always play. I mean, it's kind of hard to say.
Oh, always going to play? No.
No.
I do see Ferocious Roar as more of an uncommon or a rare card.
I do too. I do see it as more of an uncommon card, and I think that Spring Dryad probably is not an uncommon. It's interesting.
I can see that one as an uncommon.
Is it uncommon? But cards uncommons like Shardblade Delver, yeah, I can see it as an uncommon. Soothing Radiance, I cannot see as an uncommon.
But that doesn't mean...
Lifeshaper Savant, all the Savants I can kind of see as uncommons. And Savants are a good example of something that could be cornerstones to a deck. They tend to fit every deck regardless.
Sure.
They offer card advantage. They'll probably be considered always. But, I mean, given the starter decks, they're all the commons that I see here, I could skip out on all of them. And given the Uhtera faction, the only one that I would consider playing is Grove Huntress. That's it. Out of all those commons.
I love that card.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, none of them are auto includes.
No, not at all.
Not like Echo West. Echo West is an auto food if you're playing Uhtera.
Yeah, period. Right. And that's why it's a rare.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, the Packmaster is not an auto food just because of that restriction. But.
But if it's, you a, have it's a heavy consideration.
If you have at least half your deck to be Uhtera and creatures, then.
Half or more, right. Yeah, I would agree. So, you know, kind of going with that scheme is. That's something I was wondering about, is if we were going to see rarity be overpowering. so we'll have to...
Like most games.
Like most games, and you know, that's not the kind of game you want to build. You know,
but at the same time, the game will be balanced for drafting, and drafting usually leads to balancing cards.
Did they say they were going to balance based around drafting? I don't think that was the situation.
I assume you have to base them.
I thought...
I guess you don't have to, but...
Right.
If you don't, your drafting suck.
That's true. But I think that they're basing it more around a constructed standpoint. I don't think that... I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are basing it around drafting, because they are doing, like, drafting for life for some of those backers, that type of thing.
That's true.
But...
I know this might seem just a little bit counterintuitive, but I think you want new players to get their ass kicked. I think you need that disparity, because if the rare cards aren't awesome and stronger, then what's the point of keeping buying booster packs? That if I can build strong decks out of commons, there's no market for the... There's no demand
for buying
the rare cards.
You're right.
No, players should be powerful. It's just they should be able to be beat.
Correct. And that's the case.
Which is what limited is usually based on. Usually a lot of your commons and uncommons beat the rares.
Yes, I agree. You know, if we take a look at the Alolan deck, we look at some of the commons they have there. Tech Upgrade, Matrix Warden, Forgeblade Sentry, Munition Jones, War Charger, Sparkbot. Some of those commons may... Actually, you know, Forgeblade Sentry?
Sentry's a common, yeah.
Yeah, Sentry's going to make it into a lot of decks. I think that Matrix Warden and actually War Charger will too. Those are really good cards. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I do not want to see the game degrade into just play, you know, 30 rares and win.
And I think we need to also mention that we're just basing any one of them in the deck is a rare, any two of them in the deck is an uncommon. And any three of is a common, and that is purely speculative.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of people who have been kind of using that method. I mentioned that I'm not a big fan of it, but I think it is probably the most accurate information we have.
It's the best we have
so far. Yep.
I'd give you that. And the thing is, I don't know, if you take a bunch of awesome cards and shove them together into a deck, you're not going to win off that. Like, the synergy, card synergy is going to be important enough that...
In this game, yes. I think that's going to be a big thing.
I don't think it is. I think synergy is going to be a big thing, yes. But what Meriden said is I don't think you can shove 30 cards into a deck and win. I think you're wrong. I think you can. I think that given that you're only allowed to play two cards a turn, kind of limits and doesn't limit you. I mean, if you're drawing a hand of 30 rares that are just straight up stronger, you know, every hand you have, at level one, if your hand is, chances are your hand, all through other one is going to be better than their hand if you're playing 30 rares. Maybe, maybe not.
If every turn you're playing one or two cards that have to be answered immediately, you will win.
You will win. But that's where cards leveling, that's where that comes into play, because you're not going to always draw, you know, on par. You're going to get those hands on level four, and it's just nothing but level ones, and that's not going to save your ass against a common or uncommon at level three. So... You know, coming back around to that, but I think that still having a majority of rares at their power level, if kind of going as we foresee it, I think it's really good and I think it's really strong. Oracle doesn't need a faction, it just wins.
Good point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a case of a rare where it's going to go in your deck, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Oracle is, I'd put that in.
Same with Echo Wisp.
Same with Echo Wisp. Right. You know, and we're going to see those. There's some cards, as we call them, staple cards, that we'll always see play. But, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'd like to get a sample of larger cards. I'd like a larger card at this point. But I would like for, you know, Stoneblade to maybe leak us out 10 more cards. That'd be kind of cool, right? 5 more cards?
Yeah, when's the last time we got a new card?
We haven't gotten a new card since...
Since
the starter decks came out, we haven't seen
the starter decks.
Yeah,
right. Nothing. Couple changes.
Obviously changes to cards and the such, but we haven't seen any new cards.
Yeah, I thought about that. I'd love to see some new cards.
And that'll actually kind of lead us into the next thing we're gonna touch on is the abundance of other DCGs popping up, which is awesome. I love it. More DCGs, more competition. You know, makes the game better. Competition breeds quality. So just to kind of quick touch on them, and I've got an article coming up that I'm going to do in pieces now, I think I've decided. But it's kind of just going to touch on all the other DCGs that are out there and what it means for Soulforge. know, because ultimately we're doing this cast because we have so much faith in the Stoneblade and Soulforge team that it is going to be the premier TCG, or DCG as it is. But now you have games like, we've talked about it before, Hearthstone. We mentioned it on a previous cast, popped up. Blizzard's, Blizzard Activision's.
Blizzard's super casual.
Yeah, super casual.
Wow, I'm assuming mobile.
Yeah, you have iPad later. Yeah, mobile game. Great. Then you have Infinity Wars, which has popped up, which is another game.
Actually, that Kickstarter started before
Soulforge did, yeah. And that's a fun game. I enjoy that so far. But I guess the biggest one on everybody's minds right now is Hex, made by Cryptozoic, the guys who do the WoW physical TCG.
Not to mention all these.
And in a bunch of other board games. They're in the same realm that Gary Games, you know, deck building games. They're the same game that, you know, the Gary Games are in now, Stoneblade isn't. So that's gonna offer a lot. The thing that's really crucial about all these other games is that they're further along than Soulforge is. And that's a bummer for me.
Yes, I was saying earlier, I knew more about Hex in the first 24 hours than I know about Soulforge now, 9 months after the Kickstarter ended.
Right, and then it just comes back around to, we just want more communication from Soulforge, and I think from Stoneblade. I think everybody does. You know, that being said, is that more of these DCGs are popping up, and who knows how many more are going to pop up. So the more we see, hopefully it'll put a little bit more pressure on Stoneblade to give us some new cards, or, you know, maybe consider releasing updates a bit faster, something like that. So that was just kind of some quick news from the DCGGrounds.com world. Hey, boy, what you doing, buddy? The next thing I kind of wanted to talk about is, since we are so faithful to Soulforge and we are really excited for the game, we've got a new game, Forge Gamers tool that we're about to announce and probably go live with, hopefully by the time you guys are listening to this. We are going to kick off the Deck Builder database. So I'm actually going to kind of just turn the mic over to Meriden here.
Sure. So a lot of you, probably most of you listening to this podcast, are already familiar with our suite of Soulforge-based tools, namely the card database, the deck builder, and test hands. And we wanted to sort of expand deck builder a little bit. I created some sort of ways to share them in the forums and discuss them, but we really didn't have any sort of collection of them on the site. And so what we're introducing this week is what we've been calling Deck Manager, Deck Database, a couple different names for it. The idea is expanding the deck system to include saving and browsing as well as rating. So the general idea is that starting next week, and we'll make a big announcement when it goes live and everything like that, you'll be able to not only create a deck using our Deck Builder tool, but save that deck and share it with your friends or anybody who goes on the site. Anybody on the site will have the opportunity to rate a deck, that whether they like it or not, and then that information will be sort of aggregated into lists showing the highest rated decks for this month, for this week, for all time, what's hot, what's coming up, what people don't like whatsoever. And just sort of give people sort of a place to look at the sort of evolution of the meta. People coming from a MOBA background like me are going to be familiar with this sort of idea of meta as a slow-changing overall strategy for the game. In League of Legends, the meta is fairly consistent. But if you look at, if you had a website that gave you a listing of all team count, and these websites do exist, you look at champion pick rates in LCS, you look at team comps, you look at sort of what's going on, and you can get an idea for the general meta and the general sort of overall ecosystem. I think it's going to be great for generating discussion.
I agree. I think this is going to be, we've got test hands, that's a cool feature. We've got deck builder, another cool feature. Mm-hmm. But I think that deck manager system is the feature that we were missing.
Yeah, you want to sort of bring it to this level where it's a little more so that you're not using the website by yourself.
Right.
That, you know, there's other people using it too, and here's what they're doing, and check it out, and what do you think, and, you know.
Yep. So, look for that, guys. Hopefully we'll have it up by the time you're listening to this. You know, and another thing in terms of the site that we've had going.
And specifically this podcast.
Very specifically this podcast is feedback. We get it. Well, believe it or not, we get a good portion of feedback, and we get it from everybody. You know, we do listen to it, and we do try to take in as much of it and change as much of it as possible.
And now we're going to respond to it.
Yes.
A lot of it to do with the podcast is just about quality. I think we've addressed a lot of that. I think the podcast sounds a lot better now.
Yeah, I think so too.
And but the one we've heard a lot is that people want the podcast to be more structured. Sort of like, more like a newscast. And first, I guess we'll go with the cop-out, and we'll say, you can't really do a structured podcast if there's no, if the thing you're doing the podcast about isn't very structured at the moment. We're in beta.
Right.
It's hard to do a structure about that. But the main reason is we don't want to.
That's true.
The main point of this podcast originally was we wanted it to be discussion between us, and then we would assume that people would have the same thoughts we did, and we would like to get them to start discussing them on the forums and whatnot like that.
Right. Yeah. Our original thought when you and I first sat down with this cast wasn't to just reiterate everything Stoneblade said. It was to talk about our personal thoughts on the game and everything that comes with it.
And what we think Stoneblade could do, or at the time make the game the best it could be.
Yep.
And then hopefully you guys give your feedback up. And
we talked about it. Yeah, we just wanted to generate discussion on it. And I feel like that's still exactly where we are. We still do these casts because, one, it's fun. Two, there aren't any other casts out there for it that specifically talk about it. So it's kind of fun to do that as well, being the only people out there. And then the other thing is, people do listen to us more than I had actually thought originally. So I think that it's awesome we're able to reach an audience with different thoughts. Obviously, when the game goes live or we have a more structured beta, that we are going to break down these podcasts are going to get longer. We are going to talk about decks. We are going to report on tournaments. We are going to report on drafts. We are going to talk about card changes and balance. I mean, these podcasts will eventually be probably 45 minutes long when they're done and edited. But that's not until we have 45 minutes of stuff to talk about. So the more we have from Stoneblade, the more we're able to talk about. And right now we kind of feel like, again, as Meriden said, the Soulforge universe has been quiet. It's been quiet. It's one of the reasons we were actually able to take 3 weeks off from casting to do our own stuff. Right, and skip.
Yeah, and to just kind of jump in on that a little bit, when you guys first started, it was just the two of you.
Yes.
And I remember listening. I was probably one of your first fans.
Yes, we have a fan.
And I love the podcast. I love the casual nature of it, and I love the fact that it felt like you guys were just sitting there at a table, kind of just chatting about stuff. And I felt like, oh yeah, I could sit here too, and it's almost like I'm sitting here chatting with these guys.
Right.
Oh, that's really neat. It didn't feel like it was professionals, you know, pushing information at me. It felt like
just
hanging around and talking about a game, which was fun.
Right. This is not a hate cast. This is a Forge cast. The ideal is to be everything. We wanted to encompass everything that Soulforge was. That includes Gary Games or Stoneblade Entertainment. That includes Soulforge. That includes its competition. That includes the ups, the downs. That's everything that comes with it. So there are going to be casts where there aren't too many great things to say, and it's only because we're saying them because we feel like they need to be said. Part of the community needs to say it. And, you know, they always say the loudest part of the community is part of the community that's upset. And we're hoping to kind of get away from that. Because we're not entirely upset.
No, I think we represent kind of an amalgamation of the community in that there's things that I'm upset about, but for the most part, I'm not here because I'm pissed and I want everybody to know about it. I'm here because I think Soulforge is going to be a great game and I'm excited about it.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that.
Right.
We're always reachable. There's a contact form on ForgeGamers.com. There's the forums. There's the IRC.
There's Twitter.
There's Facebook.
We're all over the place.
There's emails.
Steam group. We're everywhere. So
if you want to get a hold of us and you can't, it's not our fault.
Yeah, right? And we want, like I said, we've said it 1,000 times. We want every type of feedback. Bad, good, hated, loved, whatever. That's what we want. I think we talked about a lot of stuff. A lot of Soulforge stuff. I think that's going to wrap it up for us. So, again,
Nelican,
Meriden,
and Lovecore. Have a good one, guys.